5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All these headlines. Trump says he's going to win despite the polls. You know, because the polls 2 weeks out will tell you exactly who's going to win the race.
Right.
And everyone's, oh, what is Trump saying he's going to win? How could he possibly? You know, and yet you see the headlines. Hillary Clinton is out there. She's working down ticket now. She's already preparing her transition. It's over. It's done.
She's in the White House with a measuring tape going after the Drakes.
So. Investors Business Daily national poll. Clinton 42, Trump 41 just broke this morning.
Yeah.
Battleground poll from Bloomberg in Florida. Trump ahead by 2 in Florida, and Ohio. Trump is up by, was it 4 in Ohio? And in Pennsylvania, Trump now polls within 3. Well, it's amazing what happens when you get close to the race. It always happens that the Republican candidate seems to tighten. Why is that?
Isn't that something?
David Martosko joins us now. He's the U.S. political editor for the Daily Mail out of the U.K., and he's been following the Trump campaign. He's back in D.C. where he belongs because Trump is here for the opening of the hotel downtown. So, David, have you touched base with the campaign this morning? Because they must be pretty pleased with these numbers.
Well, they love the numbers. I mean, I know Kellyanne Conway is thrilled with the idea that Florida is paying off. You know, they spent pretty much, we've all spent pretty much the last 2.5 days there. You know, we were in Sanford and Tallahassee last night before flying back to D.C., and he's just been doing stop after stop there. So I think it's at least maybe an indication that some of that retail campaigning does work. The sad thing is they haven't been doing enough of it all along. I think they may look ahead at Florida and say, well, gosh, if we'd only done that, you know, more in Ohio, more in Pennsylvania, you know, let's presume they lose for a moment. They may look back at Florida and say, damn, we had a good model. How come we didn't apply it everywhere else?
That's interesting.
That is interesting. And so having been on the campaign trail in Florida, and we now see that if this poll is right, this Bloomberg poll, which just came out, which shows Trump up by 2 in the state of Florida, does that sort of comport with what you have felt when you're out there at these rallies? I mean, from what I'm hearing to my friends down in Florida, I mean, they've been extremely well attended.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Stanford, you know, they had an airplane tarmac hangar that maybe had room for like 2,000 or 3,000 people in it. And the thing filled up and overflowed, and they got people crushed in there so much they had to open it up and spill it out in the tarmac. And eventually 12,000 people showed up.
Wow.
This was if you go look at my Twitter, at DMartosko, you can see I post videos of almost all these rallies, just pan across the crowd to see how big this stuff is. And people are like, they have no idea. You know, Hillary Clinton generally will draw 500 to 1,500 people at these things, and Trump is pulling 6, 8, 12. We've seen as high as 21,000 people at some of these rallies.
And David, for voters who do care about policies and issues and not necessarily focusing on the character of either of these candidates who don't do well in those polls, the news cycle is certainly working to the Republicans' benefit here with all of the news about Obamacare and how that's affecting people. I mean, literally where they live with their health and also with their bank account. So have you seen this start to creep into Trump's stump speech? And is he making good points about Obamacare in terms of how he can fix it?
Absolutely. You know, for a while last month, he was saying, oh, look, watch, these numbers are going to come out. And I bet the White House is going to try to hide them. We have to put pressure on them, you know, as though the White House could actually just bury the numbers. But now that the numbers are out, these massive rate increases, Trump is hammering them home. He's really, every speech since these numbers came out, and I think there have been 3 of them at this point, he's been really going to town on it. He's definitely not going to let this go. This is going to be straight through Election Day. Obamacare, you know, we've got to kill it, we've got to repeal it, we've got to replace it, all that stuff. He is definitely going to make this a centerpiece. There's no question about it.
You know, everybody always says about Florida, it's that I-4 corridor you got to watch. What's your sense about that?
I don't know if it's a regional thing. I think Trump has done some interesting targeting. He's targeting the panhandle. I mean, he said the other day that he'll be surprised if he doesn't win 100% of the vote in the panhandle. I think that's a little bit optimistic. But he's, you know, he's gone everywhere. I think he's stayed away from a few of the pockets that are just so intensely Democratic, but he's gone into Miami. You know, he held a thing yesterday with all of his Hispanic employees in Miami and asked them to come up to the microphone unprompted, unscripted, and talk and say what they think about it. It was really powerful, frankly. I've never seen anybody take that kind of risk before. He's going to a lot of different places, and I don't think it's just the I-4 corridor. I mean, honestly, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if he took a puddle jumper down to the Keys. I mean, he's really going everywhere.
So let's move Florida aside for a moment. Clearly, we know Florida is critical, and they're happy that they're up by two. And Ohio has looked pretty strong for Trump lately, especially with today's numbers showing him up by four. Five in Ohio. Pennsylvania, when you see him within four, which is on the margin of error, that's got to scare the Clinton camp. What's going on in the Keystone State, David?
Well, it's not just the public polls that have showed him creeping up in Pennsylvania. I've got sources inside the both camps that tell me that their understanding about everybody, the party's internals and the Clinton camp's internals, my understanding is the Clinton camp's internals show them at just plus one at this point in Pennsylvania. What's happening is we're seeing a really interesting phenomenon. You know, in Florida, the enthusiasm is spread all over the state. There's tons of little pockets that are very pro-Trump. In Pennsylvania, it's very, very geographically split. Like, you've got the eastern, say, 20% of the state, including Philadelphia and the main line and all that in Bucks County, that are very, very pro-Clinton. Like, if he wins 30% in Philadelphia, it'll be a miracle. But the rest of the state, like straight across, you know, the State College and Breezewood and Pittsburgh and Erie and all that stuff, Altoona, is so pro-Trump that you'll be able to see, like, it'll be this blue versus red sort of diagonal line on election night. And so it's really easy for them to pick off targets. They could just stay in their part of the state and go crazy and scoop up vote after vote after vote. Clinton's got comparatively a smaller territory to work, and so she's got a little less room to manage.
Do you have any sense of what the Trump strategy is going to be as we go into the final 2 weeks?
If I knew that, I would probably be placing wagers on who would win. Honestly, nobody knows what they're going to do. I mean, he's taking a risk by showing up and opening this hotel this morning. There are going to be protesters out there. He's getting hammered for, you know, wasting campaign trail time promoting his brand, even though, I mean, Hillary shows up at an Adele concert and everyone sort of goes, ooh, you know. of course, there are double standards all around. All I can tell you as a member of the embedded press who's traveling on the press charter at every one of these events is that the one thing we can count on every day is that Trump will say two or three things that make our hair spin and say, where did that come from?
But you do expect today's event on Pennsylvania Avenue opening the Trump International Hotel, it's going to be a straight opening of a hotel, or do you expect there to be a political aspect to this?
Well, of course there'll be a political aspect.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it going to be like a rally?
No, it won't be a rally. No, this would be invited guests, a very small kind of room. But even if Trump goes off script, or even if he doesn't go off script and talk about Obamacare or something like that, the whole setup is meant to underscore the fact that this guy is a job creator.
Yeah.
You know, all of his talking points. I did it under budget and ahead of schedule, and it's beautiful and it's the best. And you know, Hillary Clinton doesn't create jobs. That's the subtext of that.
I can do for America what I did for the old post office building.
We got to leave it there. David Martosko, Daily Mail. Welcome home to Washington, at least for a day. And we'll be forwarding the rest of your mail to Florida, as usual. It's 844. Schedule.